Tell the broomstick that, then.
And they would indeed have crashed, but she remembered in time to grab her hat and brace herself. The broomstick gave a shudder, tilted, and the landscape blurred. It was really quite a short trip, but one that Granny knew she would always remember, generally around 3 o'clock in the morning after eating rich food. She would remember the rainbow colours that hummed in the rushing air, the horrible heavy feeling, the impression that something very big and heavy was sitting on the universe. She would remember Esk's laughter. She would remember, despite her best efforts, the way the ground sped below them, whole mountain ranges flashing past with nasty zipping noises. Most of all, she would remember catching up with the night. It appeared ahead of her, a ragged line of darkness running ahead of the remorseless morning. She stared in horrified fascination as the line became a blot, a stain, a whole continent of blackness that raced towards them. For an instant, they were poised on the crest of the dawn as it broke in silent thunder on the land. No surfer ever rode such a wave, but the broomstick broke through the broil of light and shot smoothly through into the coolness beyond. Granny let herself breathe out. Darkness took some of the terror out of the flight. It also meant that if Esk lost interest, the broomstick ought to be able to fly under its own rather rusty magic. Granny said, and cleared her bone-dry throat for a second try.
Esk.
This is fun, isn't it? I wonder how I make it happen.
Yes, fun, said Granny weakly. But can I fly the stick, please? I don't want us to go over the edge. Please.
Is it true that there's a giant waterfall all round the edge of the world and you can look down and see stars? Said Esk.
Yes, can we slow down now?
I'd like to see it.
No, I mean, no, not now.
The broomstick slowed. The rainbow bubble around it vanished with an audible pop. Without a jolt, without so much as a shudder, Granny found herself flying at a respectable speed again. Granny had built a solid reputation on always knowing the answer to everything. Getting her to admit ignorance, even to herself, was an astonishing achievement. But the worm of curiosity was chewing at the apple of her mind.
"How," she said at last, "did you do that?"
There was a thoughtful silence behind her. Then Esk said,
"I don't know. I just needed it. And it was in my head. Like when you remember something you've forgotten."
"Yes, but how?"
I don't know. I just had a picture of how I wanted things to be, and I sort of went into the picture.
Granny stared into the night. She had never heard of magic like that, but it sounded awfully powerful and probably lethal. Went into the picture. Of course. All magic changed the world in some way. Wizards thought there was no other use for it. They didn't truck with the idea of leaving the world as it was and changing the people, but it sounded more literal. Needed thinking about. On the ground. For the first time in her life, Granny wondered whether there might be something important in all these books people were setting such store by these days. Although she was opposed to books on strict moral grounds, since she had heard that many of them were written by dead people, and therefore it stood to reason reading them would be as bad as necromancy. Among the many things in the infinitely varied universe with which Granny did not hold was talking to dead people, who by all accounts had enough troubles of their own. But not, she was inclined to feel, as many as her. She looked down bemusedly at the dark ground and wondered vaguely why the stars were below her. For a cardiac moment, she wondered if they had indeed flown over the edge, and then she realised that the thousands of little pinpoints below her were too yellow and flickered. Besides, who ever heard of stars arranged in such a neat pattern?
"It's very pretty," said Esk. "Is it a city?"
Granny scanned the ground wildly. If it was a city, then it was too big. But now she had time.